You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. This is episode 145. Here we are once again, April 7th, 2021 is when this will post. I hope you're doing all right. If you're a sober person, I hope you're staying sober. If you're not a sober person, I hope you're staying sane. And it's a beautiful day that I'm recording this. And yeah, not a lot going on, personally. That's good. I mean, it's not nothing negative, just kind of a, it's a day. We went to a place called Virtropolis. Is it Virtuopolis? I don't know. It's a VR place, virtual reality. It's like a gaming place, which, like, the promotions and looking at it, you're like, oh, I bet this place is huge. It's not huge. It's in a strip mall. And it's one little space. So it's like, well, we could sell shirts or, you know, barber supplies or virtual reality, which I guess makes sense because if you book it, you're not moving anywhere. You're in the circle. So I posted on Instagram at Smoke Puppet. I posted on Instagram that my wife made me stop playing video games so we could go out and play a video game, which is essentially what happened. So I was down immediately. I'm usually very resistant to trying new things. I've been trying to get better about it. This required no effort on my part to agree to do. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, that sounds good. And there were like different games and a lot of them were apparently more advanced. So we started off slower. It's like, oh no, you guys probably want to try this game. It's, and it's kind of like an escape room, but in VR, right? So you got the headset on with the earphones and you got the mic and you got the controllers. And you're like hooked up to the system, and it was fun. We, my wife and I, solved a bunch of puzzles to get up to the top of a building to disable a nuclear missile that was put there by a mad scientist terrorist guy. It was very vague. It's like, what's his motivation? I'm like, I kind of want to know his politics before I don't know, but we did it, and it was, and I highly recommend it, especially if you live in my area, if you're in the Austin, Central Texas area, Virtropolis, I think is the name of it, and Virtropolis VR, and it's run by, like, this couple who's, like, an older couple who you look at them and you're like, why would you... Do you, you know, you wouldn't play these games. You don't seem like you're into video games. And they were super excited about it and very knowledgeable and very into it. And it was great, you know. And we're like, this isn't tied to Oculus and Facebook. And they're like, ugh, no. And I'm like, yay, we love you already. At one point in the game, there was a puzzle that needed to be solved. And you know, it opens up this safe. And in the safe... was this Zippo, and you know, you pick up the Zippo, and you're like, all right, now I got to figure out what to do in this kind of warehouse room. It's like this industrial kitchen type of room, and just to kind of give you an idea, it's like my wife who watches murder docs and, like, you know, Dateline and SVU is very, like, procedural. So in her mind, procedural, rational, realistic type of crime, like, and that kind of stuff. And that mindset, she's thinking, okay, the Zippo is going to light a pilot light and brought one of these ovens, probably. That makes the most sense. And she's all looking at, you know, for the logical places to use a lighter. Whereas I come from a world of video games and action films. And I immediately think, I look and I immediately go, you know what I bet? I bet I'm going to use this lighter on one of those fire nozzle, the sprinkler. Yeah, the sprinklers in the top of the ceiling to set off the fire alarm and it'll unlock something. Which, I mean, if that was actually real, like how sensitive and, you know, cheap would those water sprinklers be if it just took one little flame, like click. What is that? 2 seconds? Boom. It just, everything goes to shit. Like you would, there would be so many lawsuits. But yes, I was correct. It was, in fact, the sprinkler system. You needed to use the Zippo one, and it unlocked this other thing. And she's like, how did you? And I'm just like, it's the world I come from, baby. So it was a lot of fun. So I highly recommend it. That was great. I want to explain to you how much time I had on my hands this morning. I got up to feed the cats, went back to sleep for about an hour, and then I had to get up and take the dog out. And I was up. And instead of sleeping late, like I, you know, I just wanted to, you know, I was off today, so from my day job, so I was already up. So I had a lot of time on my hands. And I was provided a link by Google News. And I only use Google News now after I look at real news. Because Google News provides suggested articles from shady to fake ass websites who pretend like they're, you know, they've hired journalists with just random articles about, like, I still get articles about information related to Iron Man in Avengers Endgame that maybe you didn't know at this point. And it's been like, it's, there's no reason for it. There's no reason to write any kind of new fluff piece about Tony Stark from a 2-year-old movie that everybody has seen and everybody has written about and talked about on YouTube. Like, there's no reason, but I still get articles like that. So I only go to Google News when I want to look at garbage. And one of the links that they provided me said, and it had some girl's name, and she says, don't trust Olivia Rodrigo, which is kind of curious because I have no idea who that is either. But apparently I'm not supposed to trust her. So I was curious. Turns out she's a pop star. She has the biggest hit in the country. Or at least did last month. I don't know. It's a song called Driver's License, which is spelled without an apostrophe. And apparently she has acknowledged that, like, it was an artistic choice, which is what anyone says when they fuck up on grammar. And it's a big song. And I never would have heard it if I hadn't had this article recommended to me. And there's no reason for this article to be recommended to me. It's like, what's the matter, John? Were you listening to pop music? Maybe you were listening to Taylor Swift or Lorde or some shit. And they said, hey, if you like that garbage, here's some more. I'm not saying it's garbage. It's just garbage to my ears. That's not garbage. It's just boring. It's not something I'm interested in. It's not for me, clearly. But that's not what I listen to. I've been listening to fucking Fugazi for 2 days. So I don't know why Google goes, oh, Fugazi? You like Fugazi? Well, here's Olivia Rodrigo, who just turned 18. Like, it, I, but apparently, her song, people think, because she used to, she's a Disney child actor. It was on High School the Musical. You're like, did you really research it? You goddamn right I did. And apparently she dated another actor on one of those High School Musical thingies. And then they broke up. And then he started dating somebody else who also released a song. And then she said, also the song also disses on her. And she said, and wants everybody to know, that you can't trust her. So I know a lot of you are listening to this while you're doing something else. Maybe you're working out. Maybe you're pretending to work at your day job. Maybe you're getting your affairs in order for tax season, which is rapidly approaching the end of the deadline. I want you all to stop what you're doing, and I want you to listen to me. And I want you to know that what I'm about to tell you is very important, because you need to know, and everybody in your family needs to know, do not trust Olivia Rodrigo. I know that some of you in your 40s were thinking about maybe starting a business with a 18-year-old pop star who doesn't live in this state, but don't trust her. Like, I don't know, maybe you might run into her and she's got a business opportunity. Maybe she wants you to invest in some kind of Bitcoin-esque scheme. Don't trust her. Okay? All right. I just wanted to get it out there. That's, I shit you not, I read about her and the gossip and all this stuff for about an hour, because that's the kind of time I had this morning with my coffee. And honestly, it was a refreshing change from actual real current events. I was like, oh, spill the tea, will you? Teen Beat magazine, whatever website I'm on, tell me more. I am all in on this. What does this song sound like? All right, I'm no longer all in on this. I'm going to go about my day. And that was kind of the end of it. It's like, oh, that's what it... Oh. Once again, I am not in the demographic of teenage pop singers, and their art. But, you know, there could be a connection. I think maybe Google thought that because I was reading about Demi Lovato last week, that suddenly I have a new interest in music made by former Disney stars, now turned pop stars, who are 25 years younger than me or more. Maybe Google's like, hey, I don't want to judge, but this seems to be along the lines of something that you're into. I'm not saying we're keeping an eye on you or adding you to a list all of a sudden, but since we're in the neighborhood, here's this. I don't know. I don't know if that's at all why, but I did, because the deal was, is I talked about her last week on my episode about being California sober, and I wanted to dive back into that again, because I was going off of what I saw on her interview on Joe Rogan's podcast. So whatever she had said on there, I was only going off of that. I didn't watch the YouTube series, because it's not my thing. If there's anything on the YouTube series that you think that I would be interested in, or that you found was an interesting point or an interesting point of view, you can feel free to email me stillsoberpod@gmail.com. But otherwise, I'm like, it's all right. But I went back and looked at some stuff because she ended up saying, and that's where these two articles I looked at were talking about that, because it was my understanding that she was just smoking weed a little bit. And that was the whole California sober nickname, which is sort of this abstinence from the more harmful drugs, but not completely abstinent, like not sober, you know, sober-ish kind of a term, right? But apparently she also drinks a little bit sometimes, is in there, which is kind of a red flag for me. But I'm an alcoholic. And I'm aware of what alcohol makes me do. You know, weed, you know, I know that weed is not necessarily one of those things that lets down your inhibitions to doing other drugs necessarily. You know, maybe some people it does. Like I said, everybody's different. But alcohol, your judgment, when you get to a certain level, you get that whole fuck it feeling. You get that whole like, well, you know what? I bet you that a little bit of coke right now would be fine. Or I could take a little bit of this. It'll balance it out. You know, you can start doing that, like you let down any kind of your judgment gets more and more fuzzy as you drink more and more. So that made me go back to looking up different articles, and I pulled up one. This recovery advocate Ryan Hampton, who, you know, I being petty, I always in a judgy way research who the people are that are talking about it, like, let's see if this fucker actually knows what he's talking about, kind of deal, you know. Like Ryan Hampton, for example, is an author and contributes to like the Huffington Post and a bunch of other things about recovery. He knows his stuff. However, I've been sober longer than him. So immediately my pettiness comes out and I'm like, what do you really know, Ryan? Do you? He does. He's done more deep dive in this, in recovery and addiction in general than I have, for sure. I've, you know, done a nice deep dive on my own experiences and talking about it and getting to know myself, but he wrote an article about coming to her defense because she's being attacked online by different people in the recovery community, which is so on point for them. It's what they do. People get very protective about their program, forgetting that it's their program and it may not work for other people. So, and I know some people don't like it when I read. I'm like, just tell me what it says. Well, I don't want to. I want to read it. This is just some quotes. I'm not reading the whole article. Everybody calm down. Anyway. This is Demi Lovato, her quote. I really don't feel comfortable explaining the parameters of my recovery to people, Lovato responded, because I don't want anyone to look at my parameters of safety and think that's what works for them because it might not. Now, that's true. That's good. The problem is that, of course, it doesn't matter. You're in the public eye. Anything that you do is going to be scrutinized and imitated by morons. I mean, there are just going to be people who be like, I can do that as well. And it's just going to happen. But that's fine. But here's the quote about people who are some of the attacks. One blogger described her recovery path as delusional and dangerous. Well, right away, you're probably thinking what I'm thinking, which is like, a blogger? Oh no, not a blogger. And I, of course, immediately went to go find who the blogger was. And it's worse than a blogger. it's not a blogger like a person who has their own, you know, platform that they write on their own. Is like just some just, I mean, it is some guy, right? But this guy, this blogger, is primarily a music critic. You still on board with him, right? Music critic, and he's an ex-drummer. So he's a music critic who was a drummer only. And any drummer will tell you that's the asshole in the band. And that's the least musically inclined person in the band. How dare you, drummer? You know what I'm saying. Typically, there are very talented drummers. There are geniuses. And then there are just drummers. And this guy's an ex-drummer who went music critic because he was a drummer in a fucking punk band, and he's in his 50s. So automatically, this guy who's a recovery alcoholic, all of a sudden he's just like, well, it's delusional. I know, because I'm almost 60 and I've got this stupid looking beard. He's got a fucking stupid beard on his chin only. Like his top of his hair is like normally like an older white guy with white hair. And then he's got this chin puff of hair that says, hey, I was in a band, man. So anyway, that guy says it's delusional and dangerous. And then Ken Seeley, who's a professional interventionist, like professional as in he was on intervention on A&E, and he runs a recovery center. So he actually, this guy actually knows what he's talking about, but also in his late 50s. I think the term California sober is quite disrespectful to the sober community. I know a lot of people that work really hard to hold their abstinence and fight for their lives in recovery, and to bring up this new term, California sober, is so inappropriate. Now, I guess if I had read that better and more genuine, it may not have been so like, oh my God, California sober. How dare you, madam? There are people out there who put their lives on the line. It's just a fucking phrase, man. I don't know what it is about old people. I are one. Or I'm on my way. My bags are packed. Very protective of my thing and what I believe, my values, and my, you know, my world. I'm very protective of my world. I don't know, man. I don't know why. And I don't know why it's the white dudes. We're just like, no, you can't do that. This guy knows his shit too, but man, he's just a little, the fact that that's inappropriate. Is it? It's working for her. You can call it what you want. I can call my program what I want. I could give it a nickname. Let me think of my nickname. What would be my nickname of my program? 1 second. I couldn't think of anything clever. The closest I came to is my program would be called Too Late, Here's Jail. Yep, you made your decision after your last arrest. And that's not going to work because you're on probation. So now you get to go to jail to reinforce what you already decided you were going to do. And if you had decided that a month before, you wouldn't be going to jail. But like everything else, you waited till the last minute, and this time, too late, here's jail. So that would have been my approach. Anyway, and I really kind of sat there and was like, okay, what would be hilarious? What would be very clever? And I'm going to be honest with you, I got bored. I'm like, let's just get back to recording. Anyway, I'll here's the end of Hampton's little article. The fact is that recovery has many paths as there are people. As a national advocate and person in recovery myself, it's not about you, Ryan. I've learned firsthand and witnessed how diverse, creative, and innovative our community is. Recovery is defined as a process of change through which individuals improve their health and wellness, live a self-directed life, and strive to reach their full potential. That means that each individual who seeks relief from substance use disorder deserves the basic respect and dignity we'd offer any other person in recovery from a chronic illness. Instead, Lovato is described by armchair experts as being an alcoholic and addict and who doesn't know any better and can't be trusted to make healthy choices for herself. Let's see. But therapists, treatment specialists, and other so-called experts are doing plenty of hand-wringing over Demi's decision to do what's right for her. Yet these are the very people who should know that what she's doing is exactly how recovery support should work. It's not a therapist's job or anyone else to dictate how someone else must live or what guidelines they should conform to. Instead, they are supposed to offer the tools, resources, and support that can help that person live their best life. Right, it's like just as total abstinence is recovery or using medications like methadone is recovery, incorporating wellness tools like yoga and relying on spiritual practice is also recovery. So, I like it. I agree. However, instead of judging her, because that is the thing, is it's up to the individual to figure out what's going to work. And I hope she has found what she what's going to work for her. And the thing about it is what's weird about it is that people are going to, because there are going to be people who are going to copycat it, going, you know what, I can smoke weed and drink and I'll be okay. But she's dealing from a different, from a different life. She almost died from her OD, had a stroke. She was dealing with heroin and fentanyl, heroin laced with fentanyl and either, I don't know if it was meth or cocaine, but it was one of those. But she's also dealing with an eating disorder and then, being sexually abused. So there's other factors involved in where her addiction came from and what is tied to her addiction. Like, clearly she was not an alcoholic when dealing with these other, when trying to escape her other issues that she was working out. So you have to kind of take that in consideration when it's like, well, maybe I could drink a little bit. Could you? From my own personal experience, I clearly won't, because I'm an alcoholic first, then a heroin addict. Then I went back to just alcohol. And like I said, too late, here's jail. So it didn't work out. And that's, that's the thing, is that, because I've seen, I did the research and I saw what people were saying about, like, no, abstinence is not, and it's not the only way. I know a guy I was in rehab with who I didn't think was going to make it. And for a while he didn't. He went back to jail and he, at one point was seen flying a sign on the highway. But now he's completely off heroin. He's a junkie like me, and he's completely off heroin. And he is completely and madly in love with this hippie. I just love making fun of hippies. Anyway, but this hippie who makes him really happy. And, he smokes weed some. and he drinks on occasion. And it works. And it works for him. And I think, honestly, it works on, works for him because he shifted into a new lifestyle. And then she's like the center of his focus, you know, and he's getting into some more artistic endeavors versus like a working in a kitchen like he was before. So it's like this shift in his perception and, you know, new lifestyle, new habits. And he's a new, in a new phase of his life. So it seems to be working. Will this continue to work for Demi Lovato or my buddy or different people? I don't know. But I've seen people do it for years. The alcohol thing is interesting to me. That's kind of the thing that, like, I don't think so with the alcohol. But what do I know? I'm certainly rooting for them because we've been told for so long, when you first get into recovery, I mean, of course, not, thankfully they're not doing that as much anymore. There's a lot of different outlets, and especially, you know, with social media and the internet and lots of online resources, there are other options and people are pursuing other ways of doing it other than just the straight up, you know, 12 step, here we go. You know, you got rehab and that's it. Like, there's different places, there's different ways of doing it. And, you know, and hopefully somebody can crack the code into figuring out moderation for, you know, legal substances. That's the whole, oh, that's the other thing about the weed thing, is when you consider going to, you know, weed itself might not cause you to relapse. But if you're in a state like Texas, like California, you just, it's, you know, they've taken the fun out of it. And you go to a dispensary. So it's like, you know, buying stuff off of Craigslist is more shady than buying weed in California. And now soon to be like New York and like different states. But in other places like Texas, for example, for you to get weed, you might be interacting with somebody who will, it, there may be that temptation there to get something harder that you used to do. You're putting yourself in kind of a weird situation, unless you're buying from a guy who just grows and sells his own weed and is like, eh, it's just weed, man. You know, I don't know. It's that's one of those things that are like, ugh. You know, you have to decide that for yourself and figure it out. But there are definitely a lot of, there are varying opinions. And ultimately it comes down as what is going to work for you. What's going to allow you to be better, to live better. And to fix the broken patterns in your life that causes self-destruction and keeps you back from, you know, your potential to actually being happy or content, or at least, you know, functional. So anyway, appreciate it. You guys letting me do the California Sober week 2 thing, but I had to look that up and I had to share that, especially the goddamn ex-drummer blogger. Fucking, let me tell you what I think. Oh God. Yeah. Why don't you tell me what you think? With your chin hair. All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for joining me this week. We'll see you next week. Hang in there. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your friends and your family and your health. And watch out for the virus. This is the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. Later.